Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm still dealing with the subject of judgment, and I may see how the Lord leads. Just something I got on my heart tonight I want to share with you, and pray that God will help me, and I need help with it, and I pray that God would help you. And I thought about while we was having our season of prayer how much we need this, and I pray God would work in our hearts tonight in this area. But we're dealing with judgment, and I've been talking about that. We talked about judgment at Calvary and Jesus dying for sinners and everybody that will believe. And Brother Jerry just made the statement that he died for us. He died for all of us. And he died just as much for you as if you were the only one he was dying for. As much for me as if I was the only one he was dying for. But he died for all of us and took our place. And we talked about that judgment. Then we talked about the judgment. And I'm glad he took that judgment. Therefore, I'm passed from death unto life. And because of believing and trusting that. Then we talked about judgment as sons, that is, as children of God, that he deals with us. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we dealt with some things. And said, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we not be condemned with the world. And so it's a very evident fact that when we're chastened of the Lord, that we're his children. He loves us enough to help us and try to guide us in the right direction. He does guide us in the right direction if we'll let him do what he wants to do. But tonight, looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. And this takes place after the rapture. And Brother Jerry again said, the next thing he's doing is coming for us. And the next thing after that, I believe, will be the judgment seat of Christ. Because Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, there was said, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So he's bringing rewards with him. Then somehow, sometime thereafter, soon thereafter, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stand, please, while I read the word of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And start reading at verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as though by fire. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you tonight for the privilege we have to call you our Father. Thank you tonight, God, for so many blessings just been sung about and people testified of, and I praise your name tonight, God, you let us come to the house of God. Thank you for every blessing you've given us. Thank you most of all for Calvary. Thank you for helping us. Lord, you said, Paul said, God forbid our glory save in the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus, burial, and resurrection. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. Now help us tonight as we study and think about the judgment seat of Christ and these rewards. And I pray that you challenge our hearts tonight and stir us up afresh. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And dealing with the rewards, we talked about the fact of our motive for what we do is important. With gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. Depends on the motive of what we do or the motive behind what we do. And not always what we're doing, but it's why we're doing it. We ought to do what's right. We ought to do good works. We are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says that. In Ephesians 2:8-9, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created unto good works. And so we need to understand that the good works has its place, but we ought to do what we do because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. And we have tried to emphasize that. And we talked about then the crowns, incorruptible crown. And we talked about that. That's one that deals with self-discipline. And we know we have to have God's help to help us. But let us ever remember that we have a responsibility to ourselves and to God to keep our bodies in subjection, that we bring them in that place with God's help to honor God, and that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and that we are to magnify God, give him glory in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And so we need to keep that in mind. We talked out of James 1 and 12, we talked about that we roared there in a crown of life. We talked about, and verse 12 says, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. Notice that word temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. We talked about that crown of life, that enduring as we ought to of temptations and also trials of life, that we endure with patience those things God allows to come in our lives. Remember, everything that God allows ever to come to you is for his glory and your good. Everything. And so he's in charge of that. If he allows it to come, sometimes we bring some things on ourselves, but then it's still for his glory and our good, because if we need the discipline and he lets that come to us, then it's still for our good and for his glory, because he'll be more glorified when we get straightened out than we are and being out of the place of God's will. Now look with me tonight in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. I just want to share a burden that we have and pray that God will help all of us have a great burden about this. We say it many times, we talk about it, but I pray that God would help us to have a greater burden for it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19, look at it. For what is our hope? What is our hope? For our joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. He said, ye are our crown of rejoicing. And I want to talk about that crown of rejoicing for just a few moments, and now I'll be finished. I'll not be long tonight, but I want to share enough with you tonight that it gets in your heart. I pray that God help me. And I was thinking while I was praying tonight, God help me. I was looking at the spiritual needs on the prayer list, and many times I call names. And many times, some of these folk I know, and I may call and spend a little more time with them in my personal prayer life. But many times I catch myself in praying for folk and just saying a name. And I think we ought to have a greater burden than that. We ought to have a greater burden than just saying a name. It ought to be a desire in our heart to see people get saved and realize the fact that we need a burden. We need to be broken over sinners going to hell. Those that's without Christ, those that know not the Lord Jesus. We sometimes we'll be in services, and I'm speaking for myself now. I don't think I'm the only one in this boat. I think I've got some companionship in this boat. But so many times we're in church and we'll make a statement, I want to see people get saved. I have a desire to see people get saved, but we put very little effort into getting people saved. Y'all still with me? Amen. And I looked over here and saw these young folk. I thank God for every one of them, one sitting up here all over the house, young people. And I'm glad for them, but I want them to get under the burden of seeing other young people come to know Christ. As well as some of them may have moms and dads or people in their families that's lost, and they need to get that burden for souls and see that. I think of even people in the church that come from time to time that are not saved. And what a desire I ought to have in my heart for that. And we ought to have a greater burden for that. And I realize that. I confess that and pray that God would help me do so. Here Paul's saying, my crown of rejoicing is folk that I've helped get to Jesus. There's an old song that says, must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? And I think about that. Must I go in empty-handed and not have anybody that we've helped get to Jesus or really prayed for, really went to see? Have you ever had God to lay somebody on your heart that you went personally to see individually and told them about Jesus? And I think about that tonight. I think about those that I see Brother Bobby Christmas sitting back there, and I can't help but remember the night Brother Terry and I went to see him. I was on crutches. I'd had a hip replaced, and we went around the back way. They had the front yard tore up or something. I can't remember the details about it, but a bunch of steps. And when I first looked at him and on crutches, I thought, well, maybe I'll forget this. But I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went that night. I can still see Brother Bobby sitting there listening so attentively while we shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus with him. Why, when he bowed that night, I praise God for that. Hey, listen, and the reason why there, God laid a burden, and his wife had got under the burden. She'd shared a burden. God had shared that burden with us. That's how it works. We get burden. We share the burden with somebody else. But if we don't ever get a burden to share or a burden to go ourselves, then we need to get some help from God that we might have that burden. I'm glad I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm thankful for that. But these folk all around me is not saved and they're not going to heaven. And that ought to bother me. And in this world tonight, these multitudes lost and going to hell. And that ought to bother me. I ought to be concerned about that. And we need to weep. And the psalmist said in 126, and verse 5 and 6, said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. I want you to turn with me tonight. I want to look at this. In Genesis chapter number 29. I want you to turn there because we're going to look at some verses in chapter 29. Also in chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. A message I preach many times. The blessing of birthing. And sometimes I preach a message on the mother ministry of the church. And we do have a ministry as a mother to bear children. And to bring children into the world. And here's the story of Rachel. And in this story, I see in her a great burden that she had. Look in verse number 31 of chapter 29, the book of Genesis. Look what it says. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and that is that Leah was, and that word hate is used in comparison term there. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You remember Jacob loved Rachel and had labored for her, and then he was given Leah. But then still God had respect unto Leah and opened her womb, and she bore children to Jacob. Every Jewish woman wanted to bear children to their husband and wanted to have a son, carry on that name. And the Messiah would come and all of that. So they cared about that, had a great burden about it. We ought to have a burden about that. She had a desire to have children, but Rachel was barren. Have we ever seen ourselves barren? Have we ever seen ourselves not bearing children? I remember years ago when my daughter called me and she was crying and said, Daddy, why is it that people are killing their children and God won't let me have a child? And she could not have children physically. Reason she could not have children. And she finally adopted two children, and which are precious. But in dealing with that, she was crying out for the fact that I could hear in her voice that desire in her heart to have a child, to bear a child. And I thought, how you and I ought to have that kind of a burden for souls, that we know that the Jewish woman was ashamed if she couldn't have a child. And desired to have a child and burned in her heart to have children. And so tonight, let me say to you, it ought to burn in our hearts that we produce others in the kingdom of God. Look in chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, else I die. She said, I can't even live like this. I can't stand it. I can't take it any longer. If I don't have children, I cannot handle it. She cried to Jacob. Now, Jacob was her husband and certainly had something to do with her having children. But I want you to know that it was not his fault. God had closed her womb up. And children are a gift from God. Amen. And so God had something to do with that. Notice in verse number 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? He said, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And then in the next verse, she says, go unto my handmaid and have children by her for me. And she's trying to pass it on now to somebody else. Don't we do that sometimes? We get a burden about somebody instead of our putting ourselves under the burden of it and going to see or trying to get to come or weeping over. We'll ask the preacher or the deacon or somebody, Sunday school teacher, we'll ask somebody else to take the burden for us when we ought to be bearing that burden. Amen. We like to pass it on. Somebody else take it. Because it may affect our sleep time. It may affect our eating time. It may affect our pleasure time. It may interfere with our family. It may interfere with something. But we need to get under that souls as she was. And there's nothing wrong with the seed, by the way. And over in Luke's gospel, talking about the seed being the word of God. And they sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some in thorny ground. And some on good ground. There wasn't anything wrong with the seed. It's the heart it's sown in. And there's nothing wrong with the seed, the word of God. It's just the heart that's sown in. But if we sow in enough hearts, some hearts somewhere are going to be like Brother Bobby was back there. It's going to be good ground ready for the seed to take root and bring forth some fruit. Amen. That's why it's important to sow seed and get that done. So here Rachel is, she crying to God, crying to her husband when she ought to have been crying to God. She's looking at it humanly and saying, hey, give me some children. And Jacob is looking at her and said, not my fault. I'm not God. And so tonight, as we think about winning others to Christ and people going to hell and folk that need some help, let's look at ourselves and say, God, help me have the burden. Help me do what I need to do. Help me go when I need to go. Help me say what I need to say. Help me carry the burden and pray for them as I ought to do. And we ought to believe God's going to do something when we do pray for them. Amen. I'll put some faith into this thing. You remember those four that brought one to Jesus? When they brought him in, they couldn't get him in for the press. The crowd was too great, so they had to go up on the roof and let him down. They had to believe that God was going to do something for that man before they would ever go to all that trouble. But they were determined to get him to Jesus. I believe when we get determined to get somebody to Jesus, God's going to help us get somebody to Jesus. And they had obstacles, and they, as I was that night looking at those stairs going back of that house, they could have looked at that crowd and said, well, we can't get in, we can't get there, so we'll just give it up and let it go. But they did not give it up. They said, we're going to go, we're going to get him out, we have to go up on the roof and take it apart. And they did. And they took it apart and let him down. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, that was plural, by the way, their faith, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he said to the man sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He had to believe to have faith enough to let them let him down. And then they had to believe to have enough faith to let him down. That woman, the Syrophoenician woman, I always think of. I love to preach on, she's one of my favorite characters in Scripture. I love to preach that message where she came in behalf of her daughter to Jesus. And the disciples said, send her away, but she kept coming. And then Jesus didn't ignore it. He didn't answer anything. But she kept coming. Then he said, I'm not but sent to the house of Israel. And then she responded and said, truth, Lord, but dogs eat crumbs which fall from the master's table. She was determined that he could help her daughter out there that was possessed with the devil. And sure enough, Jesus did honor her. And she kept coming, she kept asking. And she had faith that he was going to do it and could do it, would do it, and got help. And I say tonight, we ought to have that kind of a burden, a desire to keep on keeping on asking, keep on knocking, keep on going after, and keep on praying, keep on believing. And somebody will say, well, it looks like a hopeless situation. It probably looked like a hopeless situation to that woman. Probably her friends thought, well, she's probably a hopeless case. She can't even get him to answer her. Why don't she give it up and go away? But she would not give it up and she would not go away. She kept asking and believing that God could go and do something. And then those four kept on. And we got to get him there. He's going to get some help. And I want you to know God does help those that get that kind of a burden. Now look at him in Genesis chapter 30 again. Verse number 32. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her, opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God, have taken away my reproach. Notice what happened to her. God hearkened to her, opened her womb. She got desperate. She prayed. She believed. She got help. She conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Joseph, verse 24, and said, the Lord shall add to me, shall add to me another son. Benjamin came later, but don't you know that she had one son? She said, I want another son. You ever get involved in leading somebody to Christ, you want to lead somebody else to Christ. Amen. That one will just stir your heart to want to help somebody else get to Jesus. In these days, we are getting our minds and hearts too far away from where we really need to have them in trying to reach others for Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save sinners. The thrust of our ministry is to get people saved. And may God help us to have a burden for that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want you to stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. No singing. Sister April's going to play softly. We're not going to be thinking about song right now. I just want to ask you, would you tonight have a concern enough to come and bow and say, Lord, help my preacher have the right burden he needs, and help me to have the right burden I need, and help me care about others that's going to hell. I invite you to come quickly. I'm not going to prolong it. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. We'll be through with it. People are coming and praying. God knows our hearts. God knows our needs. We're going to pray here in just a moment. Maybe somebody's in the house tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus. I'm concerned enough to raise my hand and say, pray for me. Anybody here like that? I'm not saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're right with God? Anybody care enough to slip your hand up? We're going to pray in just a moment. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name now that you'd help all of us. Lord, we've gathered around the altar and I've asked these folk to pray for me. I'd have the burden, compassion that I need and the drive to lead in the right direction. Lord, someday before you, we'll have to give an account of our concern for souls. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help me as pastor. I need help. I need you to burden my heart. Help me to have that compassion for others. And God, help me not just to see people, but see them as an eternal being that shall be forever somewhere. Lord, realize the fact if they're not saved, they're going to hell. Lord, break my heart. I pray that you would deal with my life and help me, God, to have that kind of compassion that I need. And I pray then for our people, Lord, that all over the house and around this altar, they're praying and they're asking God that you help them also. And Lord, they have that burden, that compassion. Help us to see. And I pray as these we've mentioned and give examples of from Bible, help us, Lord, to look at their lives and see that they were people of like passions as we are. And they were dealing with children and they were dealing with adults and they were dealing with young people. And Lord, they went to Jesus and they went to you in prayer and they cried to God for help, got real serious about it and then believed it. Lord, you gave birth for Rachel. You gave the woman, her daughter, got saved. And then the four got the man to Jesus, and he got saved. Lord, help us to see that the truth of the Word of God is that with your help we can do it. God, we pray in Jesus' name now that tonight we not just listen and let it go in and out, but Father, sink deep down in our hearts. We'll thank you and praise you now in all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.